They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The big question in business is the municipal bond market, the next financial shoe to drop.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We know just by sheer adding and subtracting, local governments are in trouble. The question is, how much? Financial analyst Meredith Whitney says that could very well lead to another economic crisis. Whitney made her reputation by seeing trouble with big investment banks before they collapsed. But could she be right again? Marketplace's Eve Troeh is here live in our studio with more. Good morning, Eve.
Good morning.
So what is Meredith Whitney predicting?
Well, she sees cities and towns failing next year the way big banks failed a couple of years ago. Local governments have seen a huge drop in tax revenue, largely due to unemployment. Dozens of municipalities are already failing to pay their pensions or even just pay their employees, people like ambulance drivers and police. And here's where the predictions come in. Mm-hmm. She says we'll see 50 to 100 local governments fail to make good on hundreds of billions of dollars in bonds. Here's how she characterized that impending crisis on 60 Minutes recently.
It has tentacles as wide as anything I've seen. I think next to housing, this is the single most important issue in the United States and certainly the largest threat to the U.S. economy.
But Eve, there are a lot of analysts saying that the predictions are pretty greatly exaggerated. Why?
Well, no one doubts that local governments are in trouble, but there are grumblings on whether things are as dire as Whitney says. And that's because her numbers are not transparent. She released a study for her clients, but they want to see more. You know, more municipalities have defaulted on bonds in recent years, but the worst year on record was $8 billion. So to get to hundreds of billions from $8 billion, that would necessitate a staggering change.
That's a big jump. All right. Marketplace's Eve Troeh reporting live from here in Los Angeles. Eve, thanks.
Thanks.
For millions across the country, Christmas shopping isn't even close to being finished. Guilty. A lot of folks, of course, are procrastinating. Guilty again. But a few are holding out for better deals. Are retailers likely to oblige? Here's Marketplace's Elisa Roth.
All the good sales used to be after Christmas. Then the financial crisis happened, and stores got desperate. So they started having sales before Christmas. And now some shoppers wait as long as they can, hoping they'll get bigger and better discounts. Marshall Cohn is a retail analyst at the NPD Group. He says it's not going to happen.
You're going to get 50 off on selected items and categories within the store, but not necessarily store-wide.
There were some big sales early on, around Thanksgiving, but the retail business has been doing much better this holiday season. John Long is a retail analyst at Kurt Salmon Associates. He says that changes everything for stores.
They've really managed inventories a lot better this year, and so there is a lot less obsolete inventory that they're going to be faced with trying to clear out in the early spring months.
Which isn't to say there won't be deals come January, especially on seasonal things like sweaters. But if you've been waiting until Christmas Eve in the hopes of some door-busting bargains, you might as well get on with it already. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are pretty much mixed across the board today. The American economy grew at a yearly rate of 2.6% in the third quarter. The final revision to GDP, the gross domestic product, came out just a few moments ago. Toronto Dominion Bank said it's picking up Chrysler Financial for $6.3 billion. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 55 points to end the day at 11,533. The Dow and S&P 500 are, by the way, at their highest level in 2 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
This holiday, stores are full of bright new gadgets and soft sweaters and shiny jewelry. We told you about the big sales, of course, just a moment ago. Then there are some gifts for your eco-minded friends. Marketplace's Adrian Hill now from the Sustainability Desk and how to spot green from getting green washed.
I'm here at the Century City Mall in Los Angeles with Jessica Lass from the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Hi there.
Hi. And we're here at this mall where they're encouraging us to buy our way into happy holidays. The question is, can we do that and stay green? What do you think?
I think there are possibilities out there, but definitely buyer beware on a few items.
Let's go see what we find.
Okay.
We spot a lot of clothes made in China, a lot of plastic toys, not a lot that would count as green. The rhinestone Hello Kitty, you think?
You know, probably not.
Some companies try to help out eco-minded shoppers by slapping green labels on products. At the Origins counter, they're selling plastic water bottles and are promising to plant a tree. But Lass wonders, where are they planting those trees? Is the plastic safe for drinking out of? Will it last? Actual green shopping requires a whole lot of questions and skepticism of environmental claims. Some of them don't mean what you think they do and are rarely enforced.
So it's important when you see language that appears to be loose.
Scott McDougall heads TerraChoice, a group that released a report called The Sins of Greenwashing.
To see if the manufacturer, the marketer, or the store is providing a good explanation of exactly what they mean.
The word eco, McDougall points out, describes our ecology, which includes things like oil and petroleum.
Natural is a good example. There are plenty of things that are natural that aren't necessarily good for us. Arsenic and lead and cyanide and mercury are all natural.
The important thing, he says, is to dig into the green claims. Seek them out, but try to understand them better. Back at the mall, Jessica Lass comes up with another way to give green that doesn't require as much investigation.
I mean, you can take a friend out for dinner and spend a few hours catching up, reminiscing about the year, or, you know, sharing your time with them.
Sounds a little nicer than fighting crowds at the mall. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And we've got some green and not-so-green gifts at our website, marketplace.org. Finally, whatever kind of gift it may be, British people could very well sneak a peek at it before Christmas. The website insurestore.com reports 37% of Brits have admitted to searching for and even opening at least some of their holiday presents before they're supposed to. But a similar survey out a couple of weeks ago here in the United States reported only 14% of people here claiming to have gone all Sherlock Holmes on those gifts, which means one of two things. Either Brits are more curious or Americans are less truthful. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Retailers, they'll try anything to keep you coming back and keep you buying more. Sure, there are the super sales and gimmicks, but they're also doing something a lot simpler.
We're returning to civility, courtesy, and a way of, you know, actually honoring customers that has seemed far too absent, I think, for the last 20 years.
I'm Tess Vigeland. It's the return of the thank you. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.